Hello and welcome to Live the Grass. I am Brian Naylor and I'm joined on the other line by Mike Retho. On today's podcast, we're going to be recapping the Week 10 NFL slate. What's going on, dude?
Not much. I'm just trying to find out where I can find a Wrexham Ham AFC kit.
Oh, I can't wait to edit this out. Go ahead.
I honestly couldn't be more excited that Ryan Reynolds and Rob, I can always, from It's Always Sunny, have just bought a Welsh soccer team. And they're not even owners for an entire day, and they're already doing great sponsorships for Irolf Williams Trailers. You got to check it out. It's on Twitter. It's pretty funny, though. Check it out.
All right. There's a ringing endorsement. All right.
You know what? I guarantee you one of those guys is going to start listening to this podcast and you're going to feel like an idiot. Thank you.
We'll see. All right. We're going to start the recap with the Thursday night game. I'm going to leave that in. We're going to start the recap on the Thursday night game, Indianapolis at Tennessee. The line here was Indy -1 at kickoff. I had Indianapolis here, you had Tennessee, and it was a rout. It started off your favor. Titans looked like they were in control. They were up 17-10 with about 5 minutes left in the second. And then it looks like the Colts scored 24 straight points, and they blocked a punt in the third. And that was kind of it. And they ran away with it. The final score was 34-17. How do you feel about your best bet? Actually, it was the best bet for both of us. I don't know if I said that.
Rivers actually played well against this team. He had 308 yards for one TD, 105 rating. Not terrible game. I just felt like he hasn't been playing very well. But yeah, the special teams was crucial in this game, especially in the third quarter. You mentioned the block punt, but before that, there was a punt that only went 17 yards, and Indy was able to capitalize on that. So special teams, I did like Tennessee in this game, but yeah, Indy had some special teams plays that will change the outcome of the game pretty quickly. So,
dude, I will say, I feel like every single year that passes, Philip Rivers throws from like 3 inches lower on his sidearm. It's starting to get like hip height on some of these out routes I've been seeing from him. On to the next game, we have the Houston Texans at the Cleveland, I almost said Cavaliers because I have NBA on my mind, Browns. Okay. The line here when we bet it was -3.5. I made it a best bet. Both of us said Cleveland, and we got whored on this. I mean, just whored. There was a weather delay because of a lightning strike near the stadium 10 minutes before the game. Chubb came back. He had 19 carries for 126 yards. I couldn't believe they gave him the ball that many times, but he looked good. But really the play was with about 30 seconds left, he broke one loose and had a free run and a touchdown and stepped out of bounds on the one. So the Browns could run out the clock when they were up 10-7. Smart play, but screwed everybody who bet the line for Cleveland. So they go on to win by 3, 10-7. The line was 3.5. So we were both losers here. This was the best bet.
Yeah, I said that they were going to have success running the ball. 41 attempts, 231 yards. Chubb was a huge difference. I mean, yeah, there's no easy way to put that. If you put money on Cleveland, because I mean, Houston had just only scored 7 points. They would have been up by 10 with less than a minute. So I really don't understand. I mean, I do understand because there's been a couple couple games this season where the odds have actually caught up to teams that actually score in the last, 2 minutes when they're not really have to. But yeah, that's a tough break for you. No easy way to put it, to be honest with you.
Funny thing is, I don't think it's the toughest break of the week as far as lines are concerned. But all right.
I know which game you're talking about. We'll get to it. But that I can only see your joy of your face, like going, holy crap, he's gonna get it. And then I mean just immediate like what the fuck when he steps out of bounds. Cause you just
I couldn't believe it.
I'm not laughing at anyone who actually it's just you I'm laughing at.
Oh, it was a soul crushing dagger. All right, on the next game, we have the LA Chargers at the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins were favored here by 2.5. We both had the Chargers in this spot, and the Dolphins go on to win by a total of 29-21. A lot of special teams plays from Miami the last couple weeks. 2 weeks ago, they had a kickoff TD and a fumble return TD in the same game against the Cards. Last week, they had a fumble recovery TD, and they blocked the punt on the first series for the Chargers in this game. This defense is, you know, they're playing like late 90s Virginia Tech with some of these special teams plays. But regardless, they go on to win here. I think their defense is for real. Tua had an all right game. I think he threw for two touchdowns and like 180 yards.
169, yeah.
Yeah, 169. He looked fine. I think he's right now he's just asked to be sort of a mid-level game manager because the defense is kind of doing it for him. And I think they get Gaskins back in a week. So that will be a little more interesting because they'll have a more potent rushing attack. Plus, he's a great receiver out of the backfield. So that will be a big upgrade for Tua. But yeah, that's all I got for this game. What do you got?
No, same thing. I mean, I was on the Chargers, but it was really just because I'm still unsure about Tua. And I didn't think that this game would change my mind either way, whether he had a great game or a good game. He did have an all right game, 169 yards, two TDs, but it's against a middle of pack defense. The Miami defense, yeah, you said something about their special teams, but the big takeaway was fourth quarter interception by on Herbert. That was a killer interception for the Chargers, and that changed the game in Miami's favor. But I'm still on the fence about Miami. I don't know. That's all I can say. I don't know.
All right, on to the next game. We have the Buffalo Bills at the Arizona Cardinals. I was super jacked up for this game, not only for the reasons that it's a good matchup, but they're also both my fantasy quarterbacks in both my fantasy leagues. And there was a big swing on one of these plays at the end. So it ended up becoming a shootout late with about 30 seconds left, 34 seconds. Josh Allen threw a 21-yard touchdown to Diggs to take the lead. Awesome throw, and it might have been a better catch. And with 34 seconds left, they kind of thought it was over. They go up by four. And then Murray magic. They were calling it a Hail Murray. Murray goes down the field to the 43. And then as with about 2 seconds left, evades a sack. And then as he's falling out of bounds to his left, throwing across his body, he throws it up to Hopkins for a Hail Mary. And Hopkins comes down with it. And this was the dagger of the weekend for gambling. So a lot of people got it at 2.5. We were lucky enough to get it actually at 2. And they're up to going to kick the extra point, but they send their offense out there and Murray takes a knee to avoid the 2-point run back if their kick would have been blocked. So they go on to win by 2 in just crushing fashion. Both of us at Arizona here. And I told you 2 weeks ago, we were talking about MVP lately. I talked about Murray, I think 3 or 4 weeks ago when he was 30-1. And I said 2 weeks ago, he was 20-1 and still didn't quite understand why. And I was like, man, we should have bet him in. Now he's at 9-1. And I still think there was a little value there, but it's not what it was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean,
is that a fake laugh?
I missed the final play. I put my kid to bed and then she woke up. And so I had to run up to the, so I missed.
That is not an excuse.
I couldn't believe I missed that play. But it was an incredible catch. Not too much on this game. You mentioned all the highlights of it. I didn't think actually both quarterbacks played all that great in the passing game. I think they combined for like 3 interceptions, but both efficient in the run. You've been touting Murray. I don't know. I just think that there are better quarterbacks right now. He's got only 17 TDs throwing. And 8 interceptions where you got
Rodgers
and Mahomes. What?
You always discount the running. He's on pace to be the best running quarterback in NFL history. You can't just be like, just the throwing. And well, games because of his legs.
Well, they're only 6-3.
Yeah, they're 6-3.
Would you put him above Patrick Mahomes right now? Who's 25?
Oh, who's 25-1?
Rodgers?
I'd
6-3?
I'd put him above Rodgers. But no, probably not. I mean, 25-1 is insane for Mahomes. So no, I probably wouldn't put him in front of that because they've still they've lost one game. So I'm not gonna put him in front of that. But if you're talking about just exceeding expectations and making all these fun plays and just like kind of making everybody look like they're in the review like Lamar did last year. I think Murray's your play. And if they, what happens? So they're 6-3 now, but if they finish like, I don't know, 10-6, 10-6 in the NFC West, like, I think that's an accomplishment. I think that that's exceeding expectations. Their over under for the season was 7.5 wins. That's why I bet the over. I don't know.
I cannot see them voting MVP for a guy that's rating right now is below 100. And I think that as a quarterback, you have to have a pretty good rating.
I think there comes times when you do things that are outside of the box score at times. And I think his running is having a gravitational effect on this team.
You can't deny the fact that he's a double threat when it comes to the actual running, and he is electrifying. No question about it. I just think he's too far off as far as the major categories. And I think Mahomes is still your number one. I think Rodgers would be number two. And then you probably have Allen, who's leading the league in yards, number three. I think Wilson's out of it. He's just, and we'll get into that. We're getting a little off topic, but again.
Yeah, I have a little theory about Wilson too. Well, they're the next game up on the docket. Yeah, I don't know. I just think he could be the little media darling, kind of like Lamar was last year. I thought there was a lot of value when it was 30. I thought it was crazy because in my mind, he was a top three guy, but he was like seventh down the list. 9-1's starting to normalize. All right,
you want to make a little bet?
What's the bet?
I don't know. I'll give you 9-1 odds
that he'll win MVP.
MVP.
Like you and I just betting?
Yeah.
So if I give you $10, you'll give me $90 if he wins MVP?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Put that in the book.
Okay. Putting it in the book.
All right. On to the next game, we have the Seattle Seahawks at the LA Rams. Both of us had Seattle in this spot. You made them a best bet. The line here was Rams -2, and the Rams go on to win, unfortunately, 23-17. Wilson had 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and a fumble. I have a little theory about why Wilson's struggling so much. I think it's the running backs.
That's a big part of it.
Yeah, they can't run the ball at all. Without Wilson, the last 2 weeks, they've run 53 and 52 yards, and this marked the third straight game they were missing both Carlos Hyde and Carson. They're just pulling in randos off the streets to rush in some of these games. And the last two games, since they've been missing those guys, Wilson has 2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and 3 lost fumbles. Another thing is, I thought this was pretty funny. So the defense for Seattle is so bad that they have been, if you take the average passing yards per game allowed by the Seahawks and you times it by 16, it sets the all-time NFL record for passing yards.
Yeah, it's not even close, actually.
They're on pace to allow, like, if this average quarterback that they're playing against, 5,600 yards, and the all-time record is 54.7. So they would have, by like 200 yards, they're allowing, you know, the Peyton Manning at his apex set the record, and they're allowing it to just random scrubs throwing against this team. So anything else on this game?
Well, it goes back to Wilson with I just think he's just making really bad mistakes. He had an interception in the second quarter in the red zone that he had. Maybe he had it in the corner and really thought he could get it, but he had daylight. He could have just ran for a good 10 yards, gotten a first down, maybe even a touchdown if he stretched out a little bit, but decided to pass it and got intercepted in the end zone. Also, he fumbled the ball in the third quarter, didn't just dive into it, try to pick it up, lost that fumble too. So he's just making bad, bad, bad mistakes that you're not really accustomed to seeing them make. But I'm with you. I do think the running backs is getting to him. Chris Carson, I don't think he was completely out when we actually picked this game, because I think that would have given me a little bit of pause. But even with him out, I still would have thought that they would have actually played a little bit better than what he would have done. So,
is that fake laugh?
That's God, you fake laugh, I swear to God. All right, fine. I'm not going to have any comment. Okay. Yes, I am done with this game.
Thank you. On to the next game, we have the San Francisco 49ers at the New Orleans Saints. Saints here were favored by 9.5. You had them as a best bet. You get this. I also had them, but not as a best bet. They go on to win 27-13. In classic you fashion, this is just more evidence that you are a cursed individual.
Why are you gonna bring this up? Why bring this up?
189 free agent dollars.
Okay, it's a little bit of a bit though, and you know that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, no.
Out of 200 to get Breeze this week. All you were doing was bragging about it, and then he plays one half, hurts his ribs, collapses a lung, and Jameis Winston started the second half.
Which is funny because I did the exact same thing last year and I went to the finals in that fantasy football league. No big deal. No, it was
actually speaking of not big deals, who won that fantasy football league?
Against you. Fuck off. But either way. yeah, no, that's a dagger. I I was a bit, but now I'm kind of like, oh shit, I don't have any money to get another quarterback.
The real thing is,
people need to realize that this is not your normal everyday fantasy football. Like the rules are very, very weird, and no one, I feel like only maybe 5 to 6 people, definitely around half of the people actually pay attention in this league. So I'll make the playoffs, but yeah, the 189 was a bit. You know that.
The thing is like, who's the bit for it? You think I'm like waking up at 11 p.m. being like, haha, no, Mike again at 189.
No, you're waking up at 4 a.m. to check the activity league or league activity.
I do.
I know you do.
The funny thing is, I don't even have to put in waiver wires. I'm awake 4 hours before anybody else. It's like I'm literally refreshing the app until it does the transactions because I'm just awake at 3 a.m. for these stupid Tuesdays.
You would think you would have better content on these podcasts.
We're down to the bones here. On to the next game, we have.
I'm sorry. I did want to say a few things about this. No, not really. Oh, no. The San Francisco actually did play pretty well against this defense, though. They had 2 muffed punts that New Orleans was able to capitalize on. I actually really looking forward to San Francisco's line because I do think there's going to be value on that because people will see that line, or I'm sorry, see that final score. San Francisco had more first downs, more net yards, time possession was in their favor as well. I'm right away looking at San Francisco as not a best bet, but probably be on that side come this new week.
I will say, I mean, you have to factor in that Jameis Winston started the second half. Like, he's not a complete deadbeat. You know, he's probably a top 5 backup in the NFL, but it's still not Drew Brees. So I understand what you're saying about the closeness of the game, but I don't know how much of that would be factored in the next week's line, given that Jameis. But I don't know. Jameis is probably starting. So that's maybe it's going to be taken into account appropriately. All right. On to the next game, we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Carolina Panthers. Tampa Bay was favored by 5 when we took this. I made him a best bet. You took Carolina's side. Tampa Bay goes on to route 46-23. Ronald Jones had a huge game, 23 rushes, 192 yards, and a touchdown. Brady played well too, 340 yards, 3 TDs. But I think really the story is becoming that even though they got boat raced last week, now they have these 3 wide receivers out on the field at the same time. Godwin and Evans were kind of alternating games throughout the year of missing time, of dinged up injuries. AB last week was his first start. I think he had 3 receptions for like 25 yards. This week they combined for 19 of Brady's receptions. And I think that the offense for this team is starting to coalesce a little bit. If Ronald Jones is going to be playing like this and Fournette's going to be able to scrape together, you know, 50 pounds of bruising and these 3 guys are running in the field, I think this is going to be a really dangerous offense.
Yeah, I have nothing. I was just on the wrong side of the game. Moving on.
I will say it was like surprisingly close early. It was tied 17-17 before the Panthers just decided to retire for the rest of the game. But anyways, on to the next game. The Jacksonville Jaguars travel to Green Bay. Green Bay was favored by 12.5 in this spot. I had Green Bay. You had Jacksonville. I don't really have a lot to go on here. I mean, Green Bay struggled throughout the day. They took the lead with about 9 minutes to go, and then nobody else scored. Nothing too crazy statistically in this game. I don't think it's a big takeaway. I just don't think the Packers played that well.
Well, weather was a factor here. There was... I think he had 2 interceptions. Rodgers did, which is uncharacteristic against a Jacksonville team. Jacksonville scored on a punt return. I think it was also one of the interceptions, but they also had a short field and scored another TD as well. So I thought weather was going to be an issue, and I just, that's a lot of points for a Green Bay team that their defense is all right. It's just not that great. And I thought that they would, Jacksonville would actually put up some points. So,
all right, on to the next game. We actually didn't bet this game. This is the Washington at Detroit line. The line was 4, but we, for some reason, I don't know if it was the QB situation for Washington.
Yeah, it was Stafford. Stafford was questionable the entire week. So,
gotcha.
I don't even know what it was. I don't know if it was COVID. I know he has a thumb issue. I don't know if he picked that up in Washington, but
he was COVID the week before. I'd be surprised if it was back to back COVIDs. Since he played the last week, but regardless, the line was 4. We didn't bet it. I did have a funny moment in the third with about 8 minutes left. Detroit goes up 24-3, and I texted you, we should have bet this stupid game. I would have bet my house on Detroit. There's no way this loser Washington team is going to cover the spread. So Washington goes on to cover the spread, losing only by 3, and they were 4-point dogs here. And they somehow had Alex Smith go out there for 55 pass attempts. Listen, I want the guy to win comeback player of the year. What happened to his leg was so gruesome, so brutal. It's great to see him out there. What are they doing having him attempt 55 passes in a meaningless Detroit-Washington game?
Ooh, not meaningless. Not meaningless. NFC East is wide open.
That's true. It's wide open. You're actually very right, sadly enough. Speaking of which, that's a good transition. On to the next game, we have the Philadelphia Eagles at the New York Giants. We had Philly favored on the road by 3.5 here. I took the Giants. You took Philly, so I get this one. Statistically, it was a very even game, but the Giants, man, they don't lose by a lot, so they cover here. And
they didn't lose.
yeah. I'm sorry. They went out right here, 27-17. Not much else on this game other than they play hard and they keep a lot of these games close. And in this case, they won.
No, I don't have anything, but I am kind of curious. Who do you like to win the NFC East?
So last week, I think
Philly is still the favorite. I don't know if they've actually updated the state, but go ahead.
So last week, I don't know if I talked to you about this or if I was just thinking about it. I like the Giants because I took the Giants as a best bet last week. Like I said, they've been feisty in a lot of these games, and I just don't think there's anything special with Philly. I clearly don't think there's anything special with Dallas. And Washington is somewhat rudderless. I would have gone with the Giants. Now, I mean, they were the last in odds last week.
Now they're only plus 300.
Yeah, that's not worth it. When I looked at them, they were plus 6 or plus 9. I don't remember which number it was. But yeah, I mean, to be fair though, are you really going to have any fun betting any of these teams to win the NFC East?
Absolutely, because you're not going to be out of it until the last week.
That's true.
So at that point, you can hedge it.
Do you really want to sit around and watch these games?
No, you're not going to like have. No. You're not going to sit around and watch the games. You're just going to let it play out and
give me a break. Give me a break. If I bet on like a local cricket match, I would go watch the game. What are you talking about? Play money on the game. You're watching it.
Crap. If you put money on a soccer game, there's zero chance you'd watch that soccer game. Zero
chance. I bet
you chance.
That crazy soccer game that I was following on my phone because I couldn't get it in the States.
You're following it. You weren't watching it. There's a big difference.
No, first of all, I have watched soccer games because Katie was even like,
you have to watch
soccer
games
either
all the time and you're going to watch a World Cup game or you're not patriotic. Not patriotic.
where's the value?
I think the value is 100% in the Giants at that point. I agree with you. I think the Giants actually do have a good chance of it, and I think their schedule though is so much easier than everyone else's. Like
I think you'd have to look at schedule. All right, on the next game we had the the Denver Broncos and the Las Vegas Raiders. We had the Raiders were favored by 4.5 here. And I took the Raiders and you took Denver. Drew Locke, the turnover machine, threw 4 Tommy Pickles in this game. He also completed less than 50% of his passes, which you really don't see much of nowadays. Vegas ran the ball up 200 plus yards rushing with 4 touchdowns. So I do have to tell the audience. So we do this bit where we do, single game parlays on Saturdays. So like I bet one and Michael bet one and we'll split whatever the profits are, or the losses. So we go into this game and he sends me this bet for Denver. And I was like, okay, so what do you got here? You got Josh Jacobs to score a touchdown. Love it. and you got the under. Denver's involved. I love it. And then you're like, Denver plus six. And I'm like, what? I was like, go with Vegas. They can actually score points.
There was some reasoning to take a Denver, I think, in that spot. They just got torched, and yeah, you can't throw four interceptions. Drew Lock's not that bad against a Vegas defense. Well, no, they have a pretty good defense actually. So, but no, I was wrong on that part. It's whatever.
I can't criticize. I sat there and stared at Chubb versus Kareem Hunt, and I was like, there's no way. I was like, I know this is Chubb's first game back in like 4 or 5 weeks. Like, there's no way they're going to sit there and rush him 20 times. He's going to get 10 rushes, maybe 12. Most of the load's going to go to Hunt, and he'll get a touchdown. No. Chubb scored the only touchdown for the Browns and also sat down on another one that he should have had. So I made the wrong call there. All right, on to the next game. We have the Cincinnati Bengals at the Pittsburgh Steelers. The line here was Pittsburgh -6.5. I hated this line. It like ruined my mood the other day because it was all over the place. We didn't know what was going on with Roethlisberger, if he was going to play or not. I think there was a light COVID scare. He had injuries to both of his knees, but of course they roll his corpse out there anyways. And he throws for 4 touchdowns because, you know, it's 2020. So anyways, the Steelers go on to win 36-10 here. I had Cincy, you had Pittsburgh, you won this one. I think the only real difference I saw in this, like when you look at it statistically, it was across the board. Yards, plays, drives, time possession, everything was pretty even. The only thing that really stood out, Bengals went 0-for-13 on third down. They didn't convert a third down in this game. And that's it. That was really the only difference. They convert 5 of those first downs. I think this is a different game, but anyways, what are you going to do?
Yeah, not much on this. I look back at it. I had it scraped out as my best bet, and I should have, I don't know which game did I do the Indy instead. I don't know, but I thought the COVID thing was BS. I actually think a lot of this COVID stuff when they put them on the COVID list.
COVID denier.
Well, no, obviously not. But I'm saying that you just put them on the list for contract tracing, and it's not necessarily that they actually tested positive. All they're doing is like, oh, you were in the vicinity of somebody that did test positive. That then you have to be tested 2 or 3. I don't know how they actually do it, but I'm starting to realize that a lot of people be put on this list. A lot of people are not missing games. A lot of major people are not missing games. So if you test positive, that's one thing. If you're just on the contact tracing list, I think it's a little bit different. The two knees were a little bit of a scare too. It's just Pittsburgh crushes Cincy every time they're at home. I think I said they're 10-0 the last 10 times they played with an average margin of 12.5 points. And this game they destroyed them by 20 plus.
No, you're right. You're on the right side of it. All right, on to the next game, we have the Baltimore Ravens at the New England Patriots. Baltimore on the road here was favored by 7, but they go on to lose outright 23-17. Don't have a whole lot from this game, but I will say there was crazy rain. Some of the videos, it just looked like they were just playing in a small lake. I think for fantasy and other purposes, I think a thing to keep an eye on is Damien Harris seems for real. It seems like they finally drafted a running back that might not be a committee guy there for New England. He might be the main dude. So he's been averaging 5+ yards per carry for the last 4 games in a row. And he's averaging over 15 carries a game. I think 62 carries over the last 4. So I think that might be an establishment of the run. And then if they establish that a little bit too and can get some misdirection, then Cam can play a little better. I don't know. I'm not looking too much into this because of all the weather stuff, but it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I don't have much on it. I can concur on the weather situation because there are winds around where I live, and oh my God, my dog freaks out on the wind. So he's just he has a very, very anxiety issue when it comes to wind. I'm like, okay, buddy, come to Papa. But nothing on the game itself.
You know, the game was played in New England, right?
Yeah, I'm not that far from New England. Yeah, you like, added all that.
Appreciate the weather report from 5 hours away. But...
Well, the winds are gustly.
Yeah, the wind carries. It carries. All right. Do you have anything else this week? Because I got something weird.
Okay.
So it's kind of a weird pivot, but I'm going to throw it out there anyways. Unfortunately for the world, on November 8th, the world lost sort of an icon in Alex Trebek. He passed away from pancreatic cancer, I believe, is what took him. He's been battling it for some time. It's been pretty public. Hats off for him, too, to working to the end. And a lot of people said that, you know, that's what he wanted to do. This is what he's been doing for 40 years, and that he wanted to keep doing it this way. So, but normally something like this wouldn't really cross into our world. Something like this is just sort of a tragic thing you take in everyday pop culture. But strangely, something happened this week. Because of his untimely death, and they don't seem to have a replacement in line, there's been odds, lots of odds, put on who's going to be the next Jeopardy host. And I broke down all the odds. I went on Oddshark, and there's like 30 people here. And I think there's value in three names. And I kind of want to go through it. So the heavy favorite at the top is Ken Jennings, who was the longtime champ, I think, until James Holzhauer.
So the guy from Vegas?
Yeah. He's not from Vegas. I think he's from Illinois, but he is a
gambler. But he lives in Vegas?
He probably spends a lot of time there because he's a professional gambler. But
yeah.
Ken Jennings is the odds-on favorite. Plus 100 odds. Obviously, there's not a lot of value there. You're picking from the world, and there's Ken Jennings. But I will say that a lot of things kind of line up. He's 46. He's pretty young, so you know that he would be doing this for a while. He has name recognition, and he's an author who lives in Washington State, so you know he's doing nothing with his life. So that's not too bad. But some of these other names are kind of just scrapped off the heap. The next heaviest is George Stephanopoulos. Too rich. He has 8-figure deals with ABC. He's not doing it. LeVar Burton, he's 63. I think that's too old. I think that, you know, somebody they put in place, they're going to want to put in their like 40s or something. I doubt he would get in. LeVar Burton, too old, 63. Neil deGrasse Tyson, he's 62, but social media is driving it, so I think that's a scratch. Pat Sajak, is he just going to host that whole hour? 74? No way. Some guy named Alex Faust, who's 31. He's like the voice announcer for the Los Angeles Kings. That's got to be a homer play. So he's scrapped. Laura Coates, she's 40. She's an American legal analyst for CNN. There's no name recognition there. I don't know why she'd be in it. So scratched. Ryan Seacrest, he's already got 700 jobs. Give me a break. Scratched. Tom Bergeron, 65. Was doing Dancing with the Stars. I think he's a little too flat. I don't know if he's sort of the sharp intellectual type. I'd scrap. Jimmy Kimmel.
The guy that was host for Funniest Home Videos?
Yeah. I think he did that before Dance with the Stars. Yeah.
Okay.
Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel's at 20-1. No way. He's making too much money ABC late night.
Katie Couric. Got a drinking problem.
Well, that's Jimmy Fallon. Has a drinking problem.
Sorry. Yeah. Kimmel won't do it. You're right. Wrong. Yeah. Jimmy, yeah.
Katie Couric. Maybe. I don't know what she's doing. It's 63. I think that's a little too old. I've eliminated a lot of these people that are above 60. I feel like they're going to want to put somebody in there that they know they can handle this for a while. So I don't think that's crazy if you put a little money on her, but I don't think that's where I would lean. Mina Kimes, 35, ESPN writer. She's actually, I think, like the head of writing or something at ESPN. She's awesome and crazy charismatic, wicked smart, would make a lot of sense. No way. She's flying up the ladder at ESPN. They're not doing it. Jane Lynch, she's 60. I think she's kind of too funny. I don't think she would do something like this. I think it's too much of a transition. I'm actually going to skip my favorite pick here. Okay. On to the next one is Trevor Noah. Give me a break. He's doing the Daily Show. Never going to happen. Wolf Blitzer, 72. Get out of here. Drew Carey. Is this just his late life thing that he's just going to start plucking off all these shows? Get out of here. Chris Harrison, the Bachelor guy. Give me a break. I've seen The Bachelor. He brings nothing to the table. There's no chance. Howie Mandel, he's probably working on some other new briefcase show that's coming out. He's also 64. Never going to happen. Jon Stewart's not terribly uninteresting here. He's 57. He's a little younger than most of these people. and he's not really doing anything other than putting together terrible movies. Next one, Piers Morgan. He's 40 to 1. Everyone in America hates Piers Morgan. Never going to work. Steve Harvey, 40 to 1. Dude, Steve Harvey hosts everything. I was on his Wikipedia. He hosts the Steve Harvey Morning Show, Family Feud, Celebrity Family Feud, the Miss Universe competition since 2015, and Fox's New Year's Eve celebration since 2017.
Well,
give me a break.
Well, real quick, yeah. And another thing, Harvey messed up on just announcing the correct winner. There's zero chance they're going to let him on Jeopardy, where it's, it's a lot of money.
Yeah, Final Jeopardies, there'd be so many redos. Every episode would start with something he botched from the last episode.
It did feel bad for that guy.
Yeah. Erin Andrews, I don't know why she's on this list either. She's doing the whole NFL thing. That'd be like a weird pivot. Nick Cannon, give me a break. Nick Cannon, 50 to 1. That's way too much of a dramatic shift. You have like calm, collected Alex Trebek going to zany Nick Cannon. Get out of here. Al Michaels, 100. He's 76 years old. NBC gig pays him a fortune. No chance. Joe Rogan, too controversial. He's doing too much other stuff anyways. Rosie Perez, crazy random. No way. Oprah Winfrey, no way. $2.5 million net worth. Get out of here. James Holzhauser, he's the other Jeopardy guy who won a fortune. I would just say no, because he's first of all, he's a professional gambler, and he's 36. If you're giving up basically the best life at a great time in your life to go be the Jeopardy host, I don't see it.
Well, Jeopardy host isn't exactly, that hard. I mean, you read a bunch of questions. I don't think he was making up the questions.
Yeah, but I will say one thing a little weird. He's actually kind of like, he's charismatic, and I liked his sense of humor, the James dude.
Mm-hmm.
But he seemed always kind of a little nervous, which isn't great.
Who is this? James?
He was the other
What's
Jeopardy
his last
guy.
Name?
It's I don't know how to pronounce it. It's I think it's Holzhauer. It's Holzhauer.
That's the guy for. Yeah, you're right. That's the guy. Got it.
He's the guy from Jeopardy. That's the only thing we're talking about. What else could
he be?
Well,
no. That's the guy who I was originally thinking that you were talking to is the all time best winning history guy.
I actually think he did beat Ken Jennings record. Ken Jennings is yeah. Ken Jennings is the one that originally took over as like the, whoa, he's won X amount of times in a row and it's insane. But yeah, then James came along and I'm pretty sure he beat his record. I know he beat his money record. I actually don't know if he beat his most consecutive appearance record for whatever it's worth. That's just off the top of my head though. I'm not sure. And then lastly, just because they want to scrape in money, Donald Trump. Donald Trump, but I can't even calculate what this is, like 10,001 odds. It's like, just give me a break. He's also too dumb, so that doesn't work.
Lost a bunch of our listeners.
Well, even if you fully support his politics, you could still tell that he's brain dead.
Not everyone. Not everyone agrees with that. Okay, who's your pick?
There's a list of 30 people, and I think Ken Jennings, he's the favorite on this list, and I think it makes all the sense in the world. And again, I think Katie Couric, maybe, if you put a small sprinkle. But this next one, I think, is kind of a hit. Neil Patrick Harris at 25 to 1. He's 47 years old. He's smart. He does the same sort. He's not too zany, not too over the top. And he plays the kind of cool, collected sort of guy. And he's not doing anything else. Like, he's making random appearances in movies. I know that he did a Broadway show like 2 years ago. But he's not, this isn't the apex of his career. The apex of his career is already sort of past, acting-wise. Like, I'm not saying he still doesn't do any gigs. But, I mean, everybody here does gigs. So you can't say, you need somebody that has name recognition, which I think he has. I think I would imagine that his... public relations Q rating is very high. And
is it? I would say the one thing that you have to have is you got to be like straight up altar boy almost. And he's been in How I Met Your Mother, and he plays like a drunk. I have never really, but doesn't he play like a drunk, always going out with women type of
stuff? Yeah, I mean, he plays a womanizer, but he plays in the show.
Okay, yeah. And then he was also in Harold and Kumar, where he says, I'm not going to say everything, but says some pretty funny things, but very some not very appropriate things. I'm just saying, yeah, he's not as clean cut as I think you need him to be.
I think the way he presents himself is, I think that it has name recognition. I think it's the right sort of attitude, and I think he's kind of the right age. So I'm not saying it's that they're going to choose.
No, it's not a bad. I agree. I mean, from everyone saying, that you chose before, I agree. This is probably, besides Ken, I would say that this is.
I mean, when you take it. Yeah, when you take into account that they have Jimmy Kimmel at worse odds, they have Pat Sajak, who's 74 at worse. I mean they're bigger favorites than Neil Patrick Harris. I just think the value is in Neil Patrick Harris. Like, if you put a sprinkle on NPH and Jennings, I think you're covering 80% of the relevant choices that are out there. Are being considered, at least like in this table. Like, if you're saying that the person gets selected from this table, I think it's one of those two guys. And I think the sprinkle on NPH kind of covers you. But anyways, I don't know. It's just a little topic. That was interesting.
Yeah. No, it's I don't know. I mean, I'm with you. I think Ken's easy favorite, especially with plus 100. I don't think you should bet on anyone else but Ken. But if you were looking for long odds, yeah. Neil Patrick Harris, of that group. Yeah, you're right. I can't think of anyone that would actually be better than them. So.
Anyways, this has already run too long. You got anything else? Wrap up?
No. Let's try and get this next week a little bit better than this past one. Mama said there'd be days like this. She didn't say weeks.
Yeah, so what did you go for? I think I went 2 for 3. I lost on that Cleveland crap. Kneel down by Chubb. Did you go 1 for 3?
I went 1 for 3. I got the Saints. Lost the Indianapolis or Tennessee bet and the Seattle one.
Gotcha. All right. That's all we have for this week. If you like what you heard, hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you hate what you heard, let us know by emailing us at livetograsp@gmail.com. We respond to literally everything. So hit us up.
Later.